One pitcher of sangria came and went, and then a second, and to her embarrassment, nobody else at the table appeared to be feeling it as much as Jane was. Everyone else had been on a transatlantic flight earlier today, and yet she was the only one who seemed to be at all tipsy. It was clearly time for some food. When the waiter came by, she forgot the local word for fish, but especial got the point across just as well. The especial was a big hit. Cassie spent a couple of minutes trying to figure out all the ingredients before giving up and allowing herself to just enjoy it. John proclaimed it, "The best thing I have ever put in my mouth," which earned him a protest from Cheryl. "What about..." He chuckled in response. "That is not a story for public consumption, Cheryl. But I take your point." George looked for a moment as though he might try and get Cheryl to talk about it anyway, but thankfully he thought better of it. He then excused himself to use the restroom. It was 10 minutes before their father wondered whether he'd gotten lost or fallen in. "Neither," Cheryl said. She was looking back into the restaurant, craning her neck to see better. "He's talking to someone, and she's really something, too. Good for him." Jane had to stand up to see for herself. Cheryl was an inch or two taller than her. When she did, she saw that her talkative guest was right. Her brother was at the bar, chatting with a woman who looked to be about his and her own age. She had short, almost spiky blonde hair, and she wore a leather miniskirt shorter than anything Jane had ever contemplated wearing. She was not her brother's type, to the extent he even had one, and it beggared belief that he could possibly be hers. And yet, there they were. "I see them," Jane said. "Looks like my brother has a new friend." Now everyone was standing, peering in at George. His back was to them, which Jane figured was for the best. If he knew they were all staring at him, he might lose his nerve with this girl. No, that was too generous. He'd definitely lose his nerve. She was amazed he'd gotten up enough confidence to begin talking to her in the first place. But now that he had, she wasn't going to be responsible for messing anything up. She sat and motioned for everyone else to do the same. Her father was the last to do so. "I want to get a better look at her." Cassie gave him a look. "Joe, let him be. He's 25 years old. The statute of limitations on parents embarrassing their kids has passed." "Some of my patients would disagree," John said. "Of course, that may explain why some of them are patients." Jane laughed. "The parents or the kids?" "Both," John answered, then turned to his girlfriend. "And Cheryl, before you say a word, don't. These people..." He swept an arm to indicate everyone else at the table. "Don't know anyone you might mention, and there is a little thing called doctor-patient confidentiality." She looked for a moment as though she was going to plow ahead anyway, but she finally sighed and threw her hands up in defeat. "All right, Doc, but I just want to say you're depriving everybody of some really good stories. That's on your head." It was good to know that, should she ever need psychological counseling, her secrets would be protected, even when her therapist was drunk and talking to strangers on another continent. Jane had never sought such therapy, except for a couple of sessions with a counselor back at college, right after her mother had passed away. Those had ended when she'd realized she could tell Jess and her other close friends everything she was telling the counselor, and they had better advice anyway. She knew what every single one of them would tell her to do now with regard to her brother. Wish him luck, and be there with a shoulder for him to cry on if the hot, underdressed blonde ripped out his heart, threw it on the floor, and stomped all over it. Or, rather, when she did. Not that George was unattractive, uninteresting, or otherwise unappealing, but Jane had been to the bar of the La Residencia often enough, and seen women like the blonde often enough. They generally weren't looking for pale, shy grad students. They were hunting for bigger, wealthier game. She was probably just killing time until a serious prospect, one who owned a mansion and a yacht, showed up.